Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
He leads away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to the Scoop Together Cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Collin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
LJ, we've had the first ever Aussie women's test match in India. India won by 8 wickets. It was an enthralling contest. The Aussies certainly put up an extremely good fight given the fact that a test match is in India is something that they'd never done before and had a week to prepare for. You were obviously over there in Mumbai. Give us your summary of the 4 days and how it all unfolded.
It was an awesome experience, and I think everyone involved would agree that, coming and seeing or being part of a women's test in India was really special. I think Lauren Cheadle summed it up really well when I was having a bit of a chat to her after the match, and she said she's watched the men play test series in India so many times over the years and always thought, why can't they win series over there, you know? What are you doing? And she's like, coming over here and having done it, she's like, oh no, this is really hard. This is different. Yeah. And I kind of think that sums it up. India are very good in their own conditions, and you take nothing away from them. They were outstanding across the test, but I also think Australia, as Ash Gardner will mention in a bit, had a not the best day first up after winning the toss and were then playing catch up. And to be fair, I thought they grew into the match really well and really fought their way into it. It was sort of the polar opposite of the way things went for England a week earlier, where they collapsed quite badly in both innings and lost in just over 2 days. So I thought it was a really good fight put up by the Australians. They'll have learned a lot of it, and you just hope they don't have to wait 40 years to maybe have another crack at it. What did you make of the test watching it from afar?
As everyone will hear, as I said to Ash Gardner, who's joining us on the show, I absolutely loved watching it from afar. It just felt really exciting. As I said to Ash, it felt like there was something could happen every single ball. Like, there were sort of no lulls in the test match. It always kind of felt like each team was in the game. When we were watching us bowl, Ash Gardner bowled incredibly well throughout the test match. India's bowlers were unbelievable. Pooja Vastrakar was great to watch. Their spinners as well, Sneh Rana, was unbelievable. Yeah, there were just some, like, Talia McGrath, two really good knocks. And, yeah, each team kind of kept fighting back. And throughout the 4 days, yeah, I absolutely loved it. And I think a lot of fans enjoyed watching it too. Looked like a pretty good crowd there on day four, LJ.
Yeah, they sort of only had the one stand open towards the end, and they got everyone into that one stand, which got really full, and they were really loud. As you'd expect, lots of chants going on, very up and about when they told Australia that they'd done better than England because they'd made it to day four. And I think even the media major was getting chants in his direction. So there was a lot of passion there, and that was quite cool as well.
Yeah, very cool. And a bit of a debacle a couple of days out from the start of the test match, when you and I believe the Aussies as well realised that there was, in fact, no point system for this series. Talk us through how that all unfolded.
There were probably some assumptions made just based on history. The last all format tour between these teams in Australia was points based. All the Ashes are points based. India's tour of England in 2021 was points based. So you kind of just expect that is what happens when you set up these tours that are one test, three ODIs, three T20s. And Australia brought over the Australia-India trophy from 2021, expecting that they'd be playing for it, only to find out on, I think, 2 days out from the test that that wasn't the plan and that wasn't going to be the case. So that's interesting because, I mean, the team don't care. They're here to play cricket. They're here to win three separate series. At the end of the day, it makes no difference to the overall picture. But you do just say, oh, it almost loses a bit of context. Maybe even from a media outside perspective, if Australia are 4 points nil down in the series, then a lot of people are going to be saying, right, how are they going to fight their way back into this? As it is, they've lost a one-off test that they would have loved to have won. But
starting from zero now.
It's a bit like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's done. And I think Lisa Healy even said after the test, it was a bit like, oh, okay, yeah, disappointed to lose, but also it was a little bit meaningless. It was meaningful because it was the first test in 40 years. There's lots of meaning to it. But in terms of this tour, it's very easy to park it and move on now because it's a whole new thing.
I mean, it seems kind of interesting that India, like, didn't want it. Like, surely they'd back themselves in their home conditions. And if they had had a multi-format series to now be 4-0 up against Australia, they'd surely love to be in that position.
Yeah, I think the players definitely would be. I'm not sure if there's just a bit more red tape higher up. Maybe no one really thought of it till quite late in the piece, but hopefully this just means that next time these teams meet in an all format tour, these things might be talked about a bit earlier, and we can lock in that all format contest that we'd all quite like to see.
Perhaps that'll get sorted. But now we're moving on, as we know, to the white ball games. It's got the first ODI on Thursday night. Aussie fans, this series, of course, will as well be broadcast live across Foxtel and KO. LJ, as you mentioned with Ash, ODI World Cup coming up in India a little bit down the track. So I'm sure the Aussie team will be very keen to test themselves out in the Indian conditions in the one-day format.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's July 2025-ish is when that World Cup's going to be. Don't know where. Hopefully it's in a bunch of different cities around India. But it's kind of crazy to think it's been 6 years since the Australians played their last ODI series here, or almost 6 years. Kind of the series that kick-started that 26-game winning streak. So okay. This will be a good chance for them to, I think, Lisa Healy answered someone's question after the test match saying, you know, is this test loss a sign that the Aussies are over, like the era of dominance is done? And we just said, maybe judge where we're at after the white ball games. And I think the Aussies will. It's going to be a really good marker for them for where they're at in their one-day World Cup cycle. And again, you know, for the T20s after as well, knowing there's a T20 World Cup in Bangladesh with similar conditions coming up. Later in the year as well.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, you get the sense that this series will probably give them a really good marker and maybe inform some selection decisions moving forward if they need to change things up or keep things relatively stable.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, first official one-day series for T-Mac and Midge as captains of the team too. So, you know, this is the new official era of Australian cricket moving forward now, and it'll be exciting to see how the team goes. We've got Megan Shute's touchdown. She's with the crew now, so I'm sure she'll have a big role to play in white ball cricket.
Shute is back. She'll be stoked with that. Very good, very good. Well, as we said, Scoop listeners, thank you as always for tuning in. I hope you enjoy listening to Ash Gardner. She was immense throughout the test match and no doubt got a huge role to play as well in the white ball series. Thank you as always for listening and enjoy. Ash Gardner from Mumbai, thank you so much for joining us today on The Scoop. First and foremost, we need to get the full Mumbai Christmas wrap-up. So start from the start, talk us through the day. It looks from afar like you guys had a great day, a good lunch. So, yeah, talk us through it, Ash.
Yeah, it was a good day, albeit a little bit different to normal. But it started, we had a team thing here in the team room. We just did like a little Kris Kringle. That was around 10 o'clock and we all just had a coffee, obviously shared our gifts, and some people came in fantastic outfits, as you might have saw on social media, which was quite funny. And then from there, we pretty much left for our lunch, which was organised. It was about a 45-minute drive, so it was a bit of a long bus trip to get there, but there was lots of family and some partners that came over as well. So it was a really enjoyable day. There was about 50 people in the end. We had a pretty good Christmas lunch. It was, I guess, quite similar to what we get at home, maybe with a little Indian twist. But yeah, it was a really nice day spent with all the girls and all the staff as well. So yeah, it was probably as good as what I guess I was expecting from an Indian Christmas.
I was just going to say, Ash, must have been nice to have some families and kids and partners around for the day.
Yeah, it was nice. I think it was just nice for people to be able to, I guess, have some sort of normality on what's not overly normal being away at this time of year. I know a lot of us like to spend this time with family and friends, and obviously just happened to be that we're all away at this time. But, yeah, certainly for the people that have family and partners and stuff here, I'm sure it was very nice for them.
Nice one. And we really enjoyed all the Christmas shirts. It was good to see everyone get into the spirit and a few of the South Australians going the extra mile.
Yeah, that was my one request when I was trying to organise the Christmas stuff, was making sure that everyone at least got into the spirit. And, yeah, like you said, some people obviously went to bigger and better lengths than what others did. So it was impressive to see quite a few elves walking around, but it was nice for people just to, I guess, take the mickey out of it and just to have a lot of fun with, yeah, something that is quite weird and a little bit different. But, yeah, it was a good day all in all.
So JJ mentioned that there were a couple of Grinches in the team that weren't enjoying the Christmas carols. Obviously not you. Who were the Grinches?
I mean, I can throw myself under the bus there because that's definitely me. I don't know. Oh. I've never really been a it actually probably is me and only me, because every time that powder would come on in the change room, I would request for it to get changed. Yeah, not a huge Christmas carol girl, if I'm honest. Didn't really grow up listening to them. It's, yeah, I don't know. I find Christmas a bit of a funny day. Like, it's obviously it's lovely, right, to spend time with family and friends, but I guess when you're an adult handing out gifts and things like that, it's kind of, I guess, what you do for the kids. So, yeah, it's a really weird one.
Grow up, everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you go in the Secret Santa?
I got a really good gift, actually. There was an app that there, basically you can draw out a name and then you can put in like a wish list. So everyone pretty much got what they wanted because they did their own wish list. So I think everyone was pretty happy with their gifts. So I got a perfume off Shooter, which was really nice.
Lovely. Lovely. And Ash, you must have been busy organising Secret Santa, and we also heard that you might have organised a patent sip the other night. Talk us through that one. Did you uncover any hidden artistic talent in the group?
Yeah, I guess when I was trying to organise some things outside of cricket, I was making sure that people, I know, like it's a bad time of year to be away from family and friends, so making sure that we're still having fun, I guess, off the cricket field. And Christmas Day was a hit, and then Boxing Day yesterday, a lot of people obviously watch the cricket, have a few beverages and things like that, and I think there might have been some sore heads yesterday, so there wasn't too many people that were sipping while painting, but there were some good artists. Lauren Cheadle's artwork was a hit. Georgia Wareham was actually quite good. That's probably surprised me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The most, Georgia's was was very good. So mine, not so much, but we had fun, which is the main thing.
Yeah. How important has it been for the team to band together and have fun and be around each other during this Christmas period?
Yeah, it's been really good. We've had a team room at the end of the hall, pretty much on our hotel level, and it's been a really nice spot for us all to come and have dinner together. There's always been movies on. A couple of people have their PS5 set up, so those that are gamers have come in and played that. But it's just been a nice little outlet for us to come in and just to chill out over this little period. We've also got a really good coffee machine, and there's a lot of coffee connoisseurs in this team, so it's been really nice to, I guess, just being able to connect on that level outside of, I guess, cricketing stuff, because I think once you've got that really good connection and I guess you're enjoying yourself, you're probably going to be playing good cricket anyway, because you can trust your teammates and you know that you can have fun as well. So yeah, it's been an interesting time away, but I think it's been a really good one for our group, which is really cool.
And you've been over to India a couple of times in the last few years, Ash. From your perspective, what's unique about going over there? Do you enjoy touring India? And what are some of the things you like to do to get out and about away from the hotel?
Yeah, it's certainly very different for people that haven't been to India. It's a culture shock. The people are so lovely. They're very accommodating. But I guess for us, we probably don't get a chance to, I guess, do real touristy things because we don't have a lot of time. And then when we do have a day off, we kind of just want to relax and, I guess, sit by the pool. But, what do we do? We go out for dinners. We go out for coffee. There's really good cafes here that we've found, which has been a nice little breakaway. You kind of forget that you're in that you're actually in India when you're in these really cool cafes. So that's probably, I guess, the extent of probably what we're doing at the moment. We're pretty busy and it's obviously really hot, so trying to stay in the aircon for as long as possible is probably key as well.
Yeah, staying out of the pollution is always good too. But with your first test match in India under your belt now, a couple of days for the dust to settle, how do you reflect on the experience?
Yeah, we always knew coming over here, playing a test match in India, it was always going to be really challenging, just obviously going off I guess the things that the boys have endured, and we were lucky enough to speak to a couple of the boys about touring in India and playing test match cricket and stuff like that. So we knew it was always going to be a massive challenge playing the Indians in India and on their conditions as well. So yeah, we always knew that it was going to be hard work, and it certainly was hard work. We probably let the test match slide in that first day. Unfortunately, I think when you win the toss and you bat first, you have to make real use of that, and you have to really put the other team under pressure, which we weren't able to do, which is really unfortunate and frustrating for our group, because we feel like we're in a really good spot. And to, I guess, let it slide in that day one, it was always going to be hard to try and fight back and to try and win it. We certainly did our best. We fought right the way to the end. So I guess that's the best character things that are about our team, is that we don't stop fighting, and even when our backs are up against the wall, that's when we do try and fight our way out of it. So I guess going into the white ball stuff, we can certainly take a lot of confidence out of what we were able to do at certain points throughout the game. So I think everyone's confident going into the game tomorrow, which is really cool.
And for us, Ash, with the test match, it really felt like something could happen every single ball. Talk us through the conditions from your perspective, both as a batter and when you're bowling out there.
Yeah, I think, well, as a batter, like your decision-making has to be on point, because as soon as you let that slide, that's when it can bring your downfall and it can bring your wicket. So I think, yeah, from a batting perspective, it's all about making those decisions right at the right time as well, and knowing that there is a little bit of variable bounce with both pace and spin. There's obviously a lot more turn than probably what we're used to than in Australia. So it's being able to combat those things, and you just got to have really, I guess, good intent when you're playing in these types of conditions, because as soon as you're on the back foot, that's when it's probably not going to go that great. and then I think from a bowling perspective, it's being able to keep the stumps in play as often as possible, and whether the ball does turn, whether the ball doesn't turn, at least you've got all three modes of dismissal, or all modes of dismissal rather, still in play. So yeah, I think that's the main thing, is just making sure that you're really consistent. And I guess you almost want to bore them as much as possible. And then hopefully that brings a wicket as well when you can build back-to-back maidens or back-to-back overs with little to no runs. So that's probably what I tried to do most, was just try and stay really patient with the ball and just be really consistent in the line and lengths that I was bowling.
And did you go in expecting to bowl as many overs as you did? 41's a pretty big shift there.
Yeah, I mean, I expected to bowl quite a few overs, probably not as many. We always know that spinners do a bulk of the overs here in India with just how the wickets turn out. But, yeah, I certainly didn't think that I was going to be bowling 41 in one innings, but I was loving it until the next morning when I got out of bed and I was very sore in parts of my body that I didn't think I used when I was bowling. But, yeah, it was a really cool, I guess, opportunity for me to be able to bowl a lot of overs to, yeah, to get that practice here in India, which we don't normally get. So hopefully that keeps me in good stead for these next six games.
Yeah. Were you exhausted, Ash, after that that innings where you bowled 41 overs? And talk us through the process of how you go recovering and backing up for another day of Test cricket after a huge day like that.
Yeah, I was pretty tired, to be honest with you. After that day, I had an ice bath, which I think was needed, one just for the heat, but also just to recover really quickly. And then I think once I got back to the hotel, I also jumped in the pool just to do some mobility, just to make sure that I wasn't going to, I guess, stiffen up, and probably more so in my back than anything. So making sure that I was really mobile through my back. And yeah, I guess the next morning I was pretty tired mentally, but also quite physically. And then obviously I didn't need to do any more bowling for that innings. And yeah, I surprisingly recovered quite quickly. I haven't felt like I've bowled 50 overs in a test match a couple of days ago. So I feel ready to go again.
So, and obviously it's a pretty fierce rivalry between Australia and India, and Midge and Humbert Kaur are both pretty competitive characters too. Did you see that little incident between them out in the middle, and what did you make of that?
Yeah, they are both fiery characters. I don't know who's more fiery, to be honest. Yeah, I obviously did see it, and it was a bit of a weird moment. I've been involved in something a little bit similar at the Manuka test when Catherine Brunt threw the ball at me as well, and tried to appeal for that too. So it's like one of those moments that's a little bit weird that you don't see all that often. But it was fair play by, well, it was probably fair play by both. Harmon wanted to throw the ball to try and get her out, and then Midge also reacted the way that she did because the ball was coming at her quite quickly. So all in all, she got four runs for it. So carry on.
It does feel like, Ash, there's like a really solid competitive and fierce rivalry building between the two teams. Is that something that you all enjoy, being part of a contest like that when there's a bit of spice out on the field?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great, and I think that's why our battles with England have been so good for so long, because there is that fierce rivalry. We know them really well, and I guess now that there is the WPL and we get to know a lot of their players, not playing for India, when they are playing for your franchise team, you get to know them, and I guess you get to build that rivalry again because you know what they're like, and whether you've become mates with them or not, there is that extra spark there to either get them out or to do better. So yeah, it's certainly a rivalry that's probably growing. We've played them in a lot of big games over the last few years, and thankfully we've got out on top most of the time. But I think we've seen what they're capable of throughout that test match, and they're individual players that stand up in big moments, which is really cool for them.
And does an experience like this just sort of whet the appetite for more test match cricket in India and just more test matches in general?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's something that we've spoken about for so long over the last probably 4 or 5 years is we want to play more test cricket, and we've got the chance to play three this season. So that's more than what we probably imagined a few years ago, and it's fantastic to see. I guess that's the way that the women's game is going, is people want to play more test cricket, and ultimately if the players want to play more, and then boards and stuff get on board as well with the individual teams, hopefully that can, I guess, transpire into playing more, and the real appetite for it, I think, is there. And there's certainly different countries around the world that would probably want to play it more than others. And I think once we can get it, I guess, as a as a global thing and we can play it every year and stuff like that, it'll naturally grow and teams will naturally get better at it as well. So I'm sure we'll play more test match cricket over the next 5 to 10 years, which is cool.
And just lastly on the test, Ash, heard there might have been some interesting chants going on in the crowd. I wasn't there. And for all our listeners, are you able to shed some light on what some of those chants might have been?
They were very catchy at the time. And I can't remember. There was one about me, but I can't. Yeah, there was something about Ashley Gardner does it all alone or something like that. It was quite funny. And some of them were quite witty. But it was really hard when you were batting not to listen to them, because obviously you shouldn't be depending on what they're chanting, but it's quite hard because they're very loud. So, I probably can't give you too much more on that because I can't remember.
That's good. You're focusing on the game.
Yeah, it's good to focus. And I'm looking ahead to the one dayers now. First one dayers here, I think, in almost 6 years, but World Cup coming up here and the next 18 months or so. So how important are these games going
to
be?
Yeah, they're huge. And I think it's fantastic to be able to play all formats here. I've played a lot of T20 cricket in India over the last little period. So it'll be nice to play some one day stuff as well, which I was fortunate enough to be here the last time we played ODIs in India out at Baroda. And we got some great crowds. And I guess that's where we kind of started our really successful reign as well. So hopefully we can, I guess, lean in on what we could do there and really take some confidence out of what we've been able to do over the last 2 to 3 years in the white ball format. So, yeah, we're certainly really confident going into the rest of this series, and I'm sure individuals will stand up at certain points throughout the series as well, which is something that I'm most looking forward to.
Ash Gardner, always a pleasure to chat to you on The Scoop. Thank you for taking the time out to join us. All the best for the white ball staff. Can't wait to watch on from afar.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.